Hello, ladies and gentlemen from the planet Earth. Isn't it like Earth Day or something?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know. I just keep seeing all these commercials for Earth Day. And there was some speculation here at that computer store that Earth Day was actually on 420. But that's Grass Day and not Earth Day. Which begs the question, is there a Sky Day?
Actually, Earth Day wasn't. It's the 22nd.
So it's 2 days after Grass Day.
Yeah.
Gives everybody a chance to recover. Well, anyway, welcome to our show. I kiss you. This is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you are listening to episode 129 of That Computer Show, your source for the latest in gaming and technology news. And caffeine, apparently. Oh, I got a little bit of a head rush there. Liquid ice. Whew. On today's Save the Planet episode of That Computer Show, I'm just going to say Captain Planet was a fascist. We're going to warn you about five tech toys not to buy. Actually, they're kind of awesome toys, but if you plug them in, you will watch your power bill rise. And how about smell-absorbing paint that doesn't stink by what? Funk, the gamer Funk. Oh, God, imagine if we painted our walls with this stuff. Stinky gamer syndrome, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just saying. Also, I've got re-engineered salt. Same salty taste, 25% less sodium. Someone called KFC so they can try this with their new salt sandwich, the Double Down.
Yes, wow, goodness.
YouTube to open their own video store. A hack that allows Google Android on your iPhone. I wonder if Netflix is worried about, not the Google thing, but the YouTube opening their own video store. And we've got a ton of other worthless garbage to talk about. A few nuggets of real savory tech news on today's show. So kick back and listen up. It is That Computer Show, the bacon and eggs in the tasty dish we call life. Can you tell that liquid ice has really kicked in?
Yeah, man.
I'm loving it like McDonald's. Okay. So we're going to start the show with... Ba-da-da-da-da. Okay.
Okay.
Was that pole position?
No, that's your pulse.
Oh, I'm about to redline. Yeah. So I'm checking device.com.
You always love some
Device. This, yeah, well, we were talking about the show before the show.
We need to be on their payroll.
We seems. Really do, man. We need to just sell out, and it should be like That Computer Show.
Brought on, to you by all the stuff that Steven found on device.com.
Yeah, and they should put us on the Sci-Fi Channel instead of those stupid paid advertisements for like the Cricut embroidery and glass etching machine.
What is with the armpit USB thumb drive? Oh, okay.
It's not. I don't know what the deal is. It's a I don't know. It's a chick wearing.
I looked at the picture and it just it looks like it, that she's trying to convey the message. I have a USB armpit this big, and I'm like, I think she's using Excedrin commercials.
Yeah, I think she's using the power of levitation. But is she wearing an Ace bandage around her chest?
Thermal bandages. I told you.
All right. So five tech toys not to use if you care about energy efficiency. The 65-inch Panasonic Viera.
What?
Yeah. It is 575 watts in operation.
Oh, I was getting excited, but you're talking about how this probably shouldn't be a TV that I buy.
Well, you know, I don't know.
Wait a minute.
It's
I'm familiar with that TV.
I know, that's why I wanted to talk about this.
That's a TV that my friend just bought.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
So, it is beautiful. But apparently there's some work in California to ban the sales of any set that doesn't meet a level of power consumption that is basically it's out of reach for most current plasma sets. So basically, California is going to illegalize plasma televisions.
Well, I mean,
LCDs and LEDs.
In most other places, is not that big an issue, but California does have an energy crisis. They have serious problems with energy, and you know,
City of Compton.
A song just played
California,
in my head,
yeah.
And that was just a little bit of awesome right there. Thank you, Steven.
Yeah.
California.
Oh, wow. I wish I had a vocoder right now. Okay, the Origin Genesis gaming PC. 585 watts in operation. Now, here's the thing. Okay, I'm just going to read this. Why it sucks. Gaming PCs have to be powerful, and the Origin certainly lives up to that expectation. It has nearly double the power consumption of other gaming machines in the test. Now, I'd be interested in seeing what our That Computer Store gaming machines take.
I assume that by having such a high power consumption that the thing has NVIDIA video cards in it.
Yeah.
NVIDIA really needs to take a look at all the work AMD has done at using the electricity wisely. Not that many people really think about their gaming machine being expensive to run, but when you think about it pulling 585 watts of power out of the socket,
it's $170 a year to operate.
Wow.
In sleep mode, it uses 258 watts per hour. At idle, it's 319. At 5% load, it's 587 watts. I want to know what's in it. It's got a Core i7-920, 6 gigs of RAM. Oh, dear. It's got two Radeon 5970s, solid-state hard drive, and a 1.5 terabyte drive. Why is it so power-hungry?
Poor use of power supply, I guess. That just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, this machine should not be using that much juice.
Anyway.
Wowzer. Okay, yeah, so... where was I? Let's see.
There's a treadmill on this list.
There is a treadmill on this list.
So why does a treadmill need to consume 2,400 watts while in use? Shouldn't a treadmill be generating power?
Yeah.
If you're running on something, you're burning calories. Your body is converting chemical energy into kinetic energy. Why do you need a device that's going to pull
2,400 kilowatts
of power out of the wall while you're running?
I got a piece of advice. If you need this treadmill, you know what I do when I'm watching TV? I run in circles in my room.
He runs my dog out here too.
I do sometimes. Freaks my dog out, but I don't need a treadmill.
I know of several treadmills that don't require any connectivity to power at all. You power them by walking on them. Like, you start it up by walking on it, and then it starts up. The machine actually is powered by you walking on it.
That's kind of cool.
I don't know. I think what you need to do, if you have a 2,400-watt treadmill, you need to have a friend on an exercise bike sitting right next to you, and the exercise bike has to power the treadmill.
That would be cool, man. It would be like a co-op kind of a thing.
Pedal faster, man. I can't keep up.
That would be cool. Now, I don't understand why the Xbox 360 Elite is on here.
It's only 165 watts.
Yeah.
While playing a game. Full tilt, 165 watts, that's not bad. So... Comparing it to your average, I don't know, high-end gaming machine that's pulling, I don't know, what, 600 watts out of the wall?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I really want to find out what our stuff is pulling now. Do we have the gear to test that?
No, but we can probably construct or find it.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to construct or find that gear, possibly using a robot we're going to talk about later on in the show, because I'd like to know. I want to know. It's like a Rogaine commercial, but for not people that are bald. The Dyson DC-20... I'm not saying a thing, man. Ooh, you wave energy drink. Dyson DC-23 canister vacuum. 1.4 kilowatts. 1,400 watts while on. It's just because it's sitting in the...
It sucks.
It does suck. It's with 220 air watts of suction. I don't know what that means. It'll suck up even the most entrenched grime. This is funny, but at 1,400 watts of electricity, it'll hoover up your spare change, too.
It's a really cool-looking vacuum, though.
It is. It looks like a droid. It kind of looks like a droid from Star Wars with a vacuum cleaner attached to it. But, yeah, it's got a fusion reactor to power the thing. So, all right, so the moral of the story is I don't entirely agree with everything on this article, but that PC, that scares me. And the vacuum scares me.
I got to call my friend Dan about his TV.
And, yeah, we need to talk about it, but he probably doesn't care. I think if you can afford that TV.
Yeah. Man, it's beautiful.
Al Gore probably has one of these. Doesn't he buy cars? What was the scandal?
But I think he has one of these, but it's powered by a treadmill.
it's powered by that treadmill.
Wired backwards. Run faster. So.
I nothing against Mr. Gore. I know he's a huge advocate of Earth, and I know there was that whole scandal with his house and the carbon offset and all that weird. But we're not going to, because I'm not informed. I really don't know what I'm talking about. I think of Al Gore, it does happen a lot. All I can think of are the old Saturday Night Live skits. Saturday Night Live does such a great job of making fun of politicians. It really doesn't matter what the politicians are about.
Well, have you ever seen his stuff on TED?
No, I haven't.
I like the fact that Al Gore doesn't take himself seriously a lot of the time.
Yeah,
like he's serious about the stuff he's serious about.
I did see him,
but
he knows
that sometimes he's quite aware of his own persona,
like Weird Al.
Well, more like William Shatner.
Oh, Billy Shatner.
So
I just want to say, I want to take a moment. I just want to say hi to some of my very close friends, Greg Grunberg, Will Wheaton, LeVar Burton, Zachary Quinto, Hayden Pantier. She's a sweet girl. Who else is on my Twitter list? Can't remember. But Will Wheaton and LeVar Burton really are some cool cats, man. Oh, I forgot Brent Spiner. Yeah, he's on there too.
How could you forget Brent Spiner?
Well, I knew I was... sorry, Brent. Cool guy. Nothing but love. I'm just saying, like, I'm following some cool people. I don't really do the Twitter thing. I think it's kind of... Twitter. I mean, just say it with me, folks. But
I get tweets all the time.
Yeah, I do too. Brent Spiner sometimes goes on a rant, man. He just goes, like, starts going off. And LeVar Burton... The thing I like about LeVar Burton is he'll be like, hey, I'm in Montreal. Tweet me and we'll go to a bar together. Like, he has, like he has tweet things where you, like, if you're in the town he's in.
I like it. I mean, right now I can pull up my list of the most recent ones from my friends. My ex-roommate pulled a 747 jet 20 feet in 11 seconds about half an hour ago. So, that's kind of cool. And my friend Justin is moving and wants people to help him move. That's kind of cool. I'm not going to help you move, Justin. So, yeah.
That's awesome. How far are we from the break? Because I got...
Anyway, in other news...
She pulled a plane?
Yeah. Well, with 19 of her closest friends...
That's some serious power generation. I'm about to throw up. I'm laughing so hard. I want to talk about salt for a moment, people. I'm breaking out in a sweat. New salt crystals. Chips taste the same with 25% less sodium. Brilliant chemists have figured out how to change the shape of salt crystals, making all that junk food we love taste just as salty, with 25% less sodium. Researchers discovered that only about 20% of the salt has enough time to dissolve in your mouth where you can taste it, with the rest dissolving in your digestive tract, killing you. The new salt will dissolve quicker, delivering more taste and killing you less. That's kind of cool.
In the UK, there's actually a stealth program, because they call it a stealth program because they're doing it kind of silently and gradually. They're reducing the amount of salt in their food, in fast food.
Slowly but surely?
Because if you make a major change and just go low
sodium... Yeah, people notice. Yeah.
People notice, but if you slowly cut back the amount of salt, people will not be able to tell.
Wean them off the drug.
Exactly.
It's like a methadone clinic for
exactly
salt.
Exactly the opposite. They were remarking about the exact opposite thing that has happened in American food and American culture, that we keep adding in more salt, into where our food is ridiculously salty compared to everywhere else in the world. So it's we eat too much salt, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, I read some interesting articles recently that said MSG may not actually be as bad for you as we have been raised to think. Have you read any of this stuff?
I haven't.
I want to find out if this is hype from the MSG community or if this is, you know, legitimate, noteworthy scientific news, but I'm thinking about it. MSG is basically an additive into food that makes food taste foodier. It doesn't make food saltier. It doesn't make food sweeter. Actually, it does both of those things.
It's a flavor amplifier.
It is a flavor amplifier. Exactly. It's like it turns it up to 11. So my thought is, if food has too much salt in it, but MSG isn't horrible for you, then because MSG is it's an extract from a root that it occurs naturally in a lot of stuff. Because, you know, if you get like Progresso soup, they say, oh, it doesn't have MSG. Some MSG is naturally occurring and is in this product. But I'm just thinking less salt, more MSG. If it's not bad for you, if it's bad for you, then, you know, back to Russia with that. But, oh, listen to that. You know what that sound is?
Time for me to take a breath.
It is time, yes. It's time for us to drink more energy drinks. It's time for you to sit back and wait. That is all for the first segment of That Computer Show. We're going to be back after the break with more. I've got some news. We're going to talk about the Google thing. We're going to talk. I got all kinds of cool stuff to talk about. So, you're listening to That Computer Show at www.thatcomputershow.net. I have got to slow down. I just heard myself say that. Holy shnikes. Sit tight. Stay tuned. That Computer Show will be back after the break.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice, a-roni, the flavor can't be beat. One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Rice-a-roni, the delicious break from potatoes, now in six fabulous flavors.
One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Hey, you don't have to be a man to love Manwich. You don't have to be a witch either, it's true. You just have to love a fun, tasty dinner. And wearing some of that dinner on you. Make tonight a Manwich night.
Have you heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. Every day is different. Sometimes Valpak.com has savings on long-distance service. Other times, you might find discounts on long-distance travel. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. Depending on when you visit Valpak.com, you might find savings on pet care, car care, or even hair care. You could come across a coupon for martial arts or save on CDs from the top of the charts. At Valpak.com, you're in control. Just click the coupons that interest you and print them out any day, anytime. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online for you.
We're going to do it like this. $5 foot long. That's not, no. It's five. $5 foot long. No, and it's $5 foot long. It's three.
It's a 5 second commercial.
Is he directing this now?
I was doing it right, wasn't I?
Everyone's loving the Subway famous $5 footlongs, and there's so many to try, like the Oh My Meatball Marinara or the Temp Delicious Spicy Italian. $5 footlongs, all day, every day.
$5 footlong!
This is Internet Radio. It is diverse and far more entertaining than conventional over-the-air radio. It gives you something you can't get from other forms of audio media. It gives you music you might not hear anywhere else. It gives you interesting points of view and experimental methods of production and content. It's a new type of radio. But there are those that want it gone. There are people who want to take this all away from you. They say that by hearing their product over the internet that they're getting cheated out of millions of dollars. Let's see, you hear their music and decide to buy it. How does that cheat them? You like their product and choose to spend money on it, and that cheats them how? In a free world, people are supposed to have a choice about where they get their entertainment, and your independent internet broadcaster is being threatened by big money conglomerates who demand you do it their way. If you want a free internet radio community, you need to take some positive action now. Not tomorrow, now. Send an email to copyinfo@loc.gov. That is, copyinfo, copyinfo, at loc.gov. Tell the Librarian of Congress that the World Wide Web is for all people, Broadcasters and listeners alike who are entitled to enjoy this new technology without the threat of the extortion that the big money music interests are proposing. Small internet broadcasters simply cannot afford to pay an inflated per song per listener fee, and you want the free expression of music as art to remain just that, free for all.
Concerned parents demand the removal of arsenic from the periodic table of elements. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. Citing the threat posed to their children's safety, a Grand Rapids area parents group is calling for the removal of arsenic from the periodic table. According to Tricia Sinclair, president of the Grand Rapids Parents Association,
our children, some as young as the fourth grade, are being exposed to this deadly element in their science classes.
The group has raised over $4,500 for the creation of a replacement element, the child-safe Nickelodeon. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, start it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap.
And we are back with more of That Computer Show. You are listening to us live from thatcomputershow.net as we broadcast from the Blue Room at That Computer Store. Wow, we've got so much cool stuff to talk about. YouTube is supposed to open their own video store.
Well, it's open. It's there.
They silently opened it.
Don't tell anyone.
I guess they've been doing a limited test run for a while. Mm-hmm. So how does it work?
Well, I don't know. You just go to YouTube Store and there's movies to watch.
So they're between like 99 cents and $3.99 for a 48-hour rental. Mm-hmm. They don't have a huge selection. I know that a lot of it is like Bollywood stuff, manga movies,
Reservoir Dogs,
okay.
The Cove. There's a lot of interesting stuff. Most of the Sundance stuff, it was where they got started with just doing Sundance stuff. But then
yeah, a lot
they expanded
of indie stuff
to quite a pretty good selection. Reservoir Dogs is only $1.99.
I know a lot of Bollywood movies are going to be popular there because there's a fairly substantial Indian community here in town that they'll occasionally rent a theater from one of the local theaters and play like a Bollywood movie. So, it's kind of a cool thing. You can go and you could actually watch something from one of the Bollywood films, which I don't quite get Bollywood movies, but I haven't really, I haven't really watched that many. What's the video quality like? You're checking out a preview.
I'm looking at the trailer, and it's in 480p for the trailer. I don't know what the quality of the video of the rental is, because I haven't bought a rental, but
I might rent one. We'll try that.
This is a classic movie, though.
Yeah.
Reservoir Dogs, if you have not seen it, and you're over the age of 18.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, check it out, the YouTube store. Grab a video. Now, Google. We use Google Android, right?
All the time. In my pocket.
We know a lot of people that use the iPhone. And I've actually been talking to a number of iPhone users who are kind of jealous because they think that Google's really sexy. Well, apparently, there is a hack that will allow the iPhone to run Google's Android operating system.
Neat.
Now, apparently, when the iPhone boots, the hack allows you to pick which OS you want to use, which is kind of cool. But I think it only works on the original iPhone. But still, the simple fact that you can get support for the hardware that is in the iPhone on the Android, it kind of speaks to the power of an open source movement.
And it may be the only way you're going to get the Google turn-by-turn navigation on your iPhone.
Yeah, they're vacillating on this. What's going on there?
Google's vice president of engineering announced last year that Google would be bringing their turn-by-turn GPS navigation to the iPhone. That was last year. That was before Apple said no to Google Voice. That was before Apple said no to just about everything Google. And so
they're dissing Google and Adobe.
Yeah. So Google's basically their new press release or press conference yesterday said they did not say they would bring it to the iPhone. They said they might. It could be coming. No. Now it's Android, and it may come to other platforms. And they're actually considering licensing the turn-by-turn GPS to devices such as the Garmin and other non-phone style GPSs.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's nothing out there that can beat the Google Maps plus GPS.
Yeah,
combination.
It's pretty cool stuff. And I know with all the talk about Palm being bought or sold or moved or switched or baited or pointed, or that's I think we're getting ready for another shakeup in the industry. Because Palm, man, they used to be the PDA, and now you remember when all of the joke. Yeah, well, you remember when we talked about all of the Palm stores just closing virtually overnight? Remember that was years ago on the show. I think that was the bellwether. I think they've been dead ever since. They're just walking wounded. They don't realize it.
It would be great for Palm to maybe move away from their dedicated OS and go back into designing, you know, great interfaces for Android, or you know, a great phone to run Android.
Yeah. But when you do things like refuse to develop 64-bit software for your device, or you do things like try to sell an enterprise solution to a small business so that they can get their email on your device.
That sounds like BlackBerry.
Yeah, I'm talking about BlackBerry, aren't I?
Yeah. That's BlackBerry.
Sorry. You see how Palm has fallen? I'm even mistaking them for another company.
That sucks just as bad.
That sucks just as bad, yeah.
I need to put something to rest, though. All this talk of Apple. Apple is not going to buy ARM.
Yeah,
putting speculation to rest.
ARM was like, nobody's got to buy us. We're ARM.
Somebody's looking to buy it, maybe. But
I know their stock shares have like gone almost positive because of all of the speculation. But
the thing is, all of the people on the list that were, you know, rumored to be buying ARM already license ARM's technology. ARM is in a great position.
Yeah,
the Intel licenses stuff. You know, their Xscale and Toshiba, Apple, it's the brain of the iPhone.
So what would, I mean, the only thing a company,
NVIDIA, TI,
the only thing a company Qualcomm, would get from Samsung, buying it would be not having to pay the licensing fees, which would be less, but the licensing fees would be less than the cost of buying the company. But it doesn't really make much sense. They're sitting pretty.
Now, the speculation was,
they have their arm around everybody.
Speculation was that Apple was wanting to buy ARM as a anti-competitive move, basically buy ARM and then not
jack the licensing for the other.
Either that or not allow any other company to license its technology anymore, and basically strangling out the small CPU device market.
Like, I don't understand why AMD is still licensing the 64-bit technology to Intel.
I think it's really just it's the middle finger that they've been giving Intel for quite some time.
Yeah,
since the whole you're licensing our socket. Intel, we want to license a socket? Well, here's your socket. How about 64-bit technology? License that.
Booyah.
And why can't you capitalize your logo? Oh, and your E's off. It's 25 pixels too low. Your E. You just need to raise that E up.
E.E. Cummings would roll over in his grave. Did you know that Hulu is looking to start charging for its service? Now, they've been rumoring about this for a long time.
Yeah, we started talking about this. What was it, earlier in the week?
And, you know, the rumor's been in the mill for a bit. But it looks like they're going to start charging $10 a month to let you watch all of the shows from a series rather than just the most recent handful. The most recent ones will still remain free. I think that I am diametrically opposed to this because I think that they just don't get it.
No, they don't get it.
The reason that Hulu is popular is because it is easily available and it is free.
Exactly.
People don't mind paying. I mean, people don't mind sitting through a commercial. What I see, and someone made a very good point. Guy was like, yeah, I watch the ABC commercials or the ABC shows and on Hulu, and all I see for the commercials are cross promotions for other ABC shows. Why not put in real commercials?
Well, I did read one comment that a gentleman made when he read the article stating that they're going to charge me, and then they're going to also increase the amount of ads to that of broadcast TV.
No,
why
not
in
do
the
that.
Hell would I pay for that?
They're not going to do that, are they?
Yeah, they're wanting to increase the advertising content to that of broadcast television.
I'm going to have to pay to watch commercials. That sounds like DirecTV or cable.
Yeah, which I don't have either at home, and I watch plenty of TV. So,
I mean, and I spoke to the local ABC affiliate, and they said, yeah, you know, coming soon when someone goes to Hulu to watch the. Because they didn't catch it on you know TV, if their IP address is coming from a local region, say Columbia, South Carolina, then the advertisements they will be fed will be from the local franchise. So, like, our commercial could be on V if you're in that area.
Do you smell that? You know what that is? It's the death of broadcast television as we know it.
Well, yeah, but then you got Hulu doing a schmuck maneuver like, oh, well, you know, that's not going to work. We're going to charge $10.
Right now, broadcast TV is subsidized by ad revenue.
Yes.
And that's its main source of income.
Yes.
Ad revenue. And we understand this model. It's the American model. Yes. However, on the internet, it's free, and it's still ad revenue. You know, you got the ads around the site. It's free. Oh, but, oh, goodness. Fox.com has probably one of the best-looking streaming video solutions out there. It's in HD. It's beautiful. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
However, some of their advertisers don't get it as well.
What do you mean?
I'm calling out Lexus for having the absolute worst advertising on this site. Two things.
Okay.
If you're going to advertise on a website that uses a dark color scheme because it's streaming video, don't do your ad entirely in white. Because then you can't see the video for this huge square of white that's right next to it, just off to the side. So you can't watch it not in full screen. When you go full screen, what does Lexus do? They cover up nearly a quarter of the screen with an ad that has a little X on it so you can close that ad, but you have to interact with the thing. I'm sitting on my couch with a remote. My remote can't hit that X. I had to plug in a mouse, click the X, go back to my couch. Totally ruining my experience. And you know who I take it out on? Not Fox. The advertiser. I will never buy a Lexus because of that ad. Sorry. You missed the mark. Advertisers are missing the mark.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason is that... Now, in fairness,
I really don't like Lexus. I think they're all ugly.
We are entering a new paradigm where digital content is overwhelming analog content. And somebody, there's a quote, and I don't know who said it, but they said, you know, advertisers are TV stations or somebody, they're trading analog dollars for digital dimes. People are scrambling to go online, but they are fumbling over each other because the revenue, it's not there for them. But I think that the revenue is not there for them because they are completely mishandling it.
Nobody's going to want to buy a product because of an advertisement that irritates them. Advertising that is fun and catchy and interesting would generate, like we've seen in a number of, in the past years, some really interesting commercials that are edgy and fun and really catch your eye and engage you into the marketing of that particular brand. And online, I've seen one or two of those things, but you don't see near the level of complexity put into it. Instead, you have almost the opposite.
Yeah.
It's let's put this on top of what the customer is actually viewing. Let's make the customer have to click this to go away. Sure, the whole grab the customer's attention with
don't
this.
Don't get in my face.
It's actually going to work against
exactly
what you're trying to do, because I hate it when I'm looking at a website and your ad blocks the reason blocks me. I mean, if you have an ad off to the side that's interesting to look at, my eye will go over there. That's you know, the whole thing. It will. But if you cover up the whole screen and make me have
away... Two things I want to say, because here's a perfect example. I'm looking at slashdot.org, and there's an ad for a Lenovo IdeaPad. It's a small ad. It's about, on my screen, about 2 by 2 inches. But I keep looking at it, because it says, save an extra 5%, and it is a very well-crafted ad. Yeah, there's no motion. There's no waffles. It's good. But what I wanted to say is, at the end of the day, it's your message. It's the message. I'm a guy, okay? So this is going to be a little awkward for the guy listeners, but have you seen the new Kotex tampon commercials?
No. I have ad block on my TV.
During the break, you're going to watch one of these commercials.
No.
They're so funny that I am completely sold on this brand of tampon. Now, I'm a guy, so don't really need them. But if there is a woman in my life, I'm gonna say, you know what? Why don't you check those out? Because the ads are great. I'm just saying. I look forward to that commercial. If I could program my TiVo to record that commercial so I could share it with you guys, Kyle's going to cut my mic. I'm just saying. Now, there's another interesting commercial where... a woman is standing it's like in New York. She's on a street corner, and she approaches these guys, and she says, "Hey, I don't want to leave my bike, but I need you to go in and buy these tampons for me. Will you do?" And all these guys are like, "Oh God, no, I'm not gonna do it." But it's a funny, poignant commercial. I'm just saying, man, check these commercials out. They are genius in advertising, and I've pretty much just emasculated myself. So that is the end of the second segment of That Computer Show. Broadcasting live from thatcomputershow.net. We're going to be back after the break with more news of the normal, weird, and wild. Stay tuned. Sit tight. There's a boob quake coming to That Computer Show after the break.
Sounds like fun.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
I'd like to teach the world to sing with me.
Love it.
Heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online for you.
Too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those Speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach and aching head fast. Use only as directed. Oh, what a relief.
What's inside the orange box? The best game of all time. Brain melting, offbeat genius. The deepest multiplayer game of the year. The Orange Box, October 10th. Rated T2M.
A new high-viscosity mayonnaise will help Americans swallow. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. Millions of food-shoveling Americans can swallow easier thanks to QX1, a revolutionary new low-friction mayonnaise developed by scientists at Hellmann's. The mayonnaise contains special lubricants and anti-breakdown agents to help keep America's gullets running smooth. Hellmann's Mayo Chemical Engineer, Gerald Lund.
QX1 forms a protective mucus barrier around the typical fist-sized food chunks swallowed by the average American.
Hellmann scientists say American eaters can now wolf down food at a rate long believed prohibitively dangerous. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, call it, point it, zoom it.
And we are back with That Computer Show, segment three. Okay, what am I going to squeeze into here? How about... Okay, we were talking about, like, Earth Day, Save the Planet, and all that crap. Solar iPhone charger shows exactly what's wrong with green tech. This is a headline. Now, I'm not going to really talk about the article that I read. There's a device that is a sleeve for your iPhone that has a solar charger on the back, has a battery on the back, so that if you leave it in the sun, it will charge the battery to give you talk time. The problem with the device is it claims you get 30 minutes of talk time after leaving it in the sun for 2 hours. Realistically, they only got about 18 minutes. They must have been talking really fast. I don't know. But
I wouldn't leave a $400 phone in the sun for 2 hours.
Granted.
We live in South Carolina. The sun is a little bit closer here, or at least it feels that way.
It is.
You leave any black electronic device in the sun for 2 hours,
it'll melt.
It'll be a paperweight by the time you come back to it. What was that? That was an iPhone. Oh, that's too bad. I was using a solar charger. Mm-hmm.
That's too dumb. Now, the principle is
can you pick it up? Are you kidding? It's been in the sun for 2 hours. It'll melt my fingers off if I try and pick that up.
The principle is sound. We have... Because remember, I bought those little... solar to USB adapters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I plugged one of those into one of those little 1300 milliamp batteries we have at the store. And it's kind of the same principle. I'm actually in talks with a company who makes a very similar device. It's a battery that is hooked up to a solar panel. So when you charge it in the sun, it then... Because what happens with me is I charge my phone at night, not during the day. So it stands to reason that there's not a lot of sunlight at night. I'm right, right? I'm not, like, getting
what?
This wrong.
You
put sunlight in a jar? Well, effectively, that's what I'm going to do with this device, so that I can plug this in at night and charge my phone. But what's happening is, that's, like Chris said, no one's going to leave their multi-hundred-dollar device in the day stars view, because the Daystar will get angry and the Daystar will punish you by melting that thing. It's just kind of dumb. Now, I've got a related piece of news, and this is very interesting. Artificial photosynthesis is being developed by MIT scientists. Do you know what this means? Silence. It means that you can put your phone, you can plant your phone in a pot, and the next morning your battery will be charged.
That's okay.
Isn't that what that means?
It's bizarre. I think
you may need to water it first, which would, of course, then void the warranty and ruin the phone. But that's not what that means at all. What it means is, and I heard this on the BBC. Where is it? Repurposing the Netherlands dike system for power generation.
I would rather do that.
That's an interesting article. Wow. Because, you know, the Dutch, there are a lot of dikes in the Netherlands. A lot of sluices, barriers, dams, dikes. And they're looking at actually retooling those to help generate energy, which I think is a great idea. I think that we should use dikes to generate power. I think we should maybe use the levees in Louisiana to generate power, too.
Wow.
What? I think dikes are cool. Like, just the way that they're designed and built. Anyway, moving on.
Well, the whole country's, like, below sea level.
So it is. It's like Florida. Are there many dikes in Florida?
Not that I can recall.
Stop it. I don't remember seeing many dikes in Florida either.
Stop it. You heard what happened to Comedy Central.
I'm talking news here. And scientists are able to... They're making progress in creating photosynthesis artificially. Now, this is really exciting. Not as exciting as the whole Netherlands dike thing. That's really cool. But a team of MIT researchers has found a novel way to mimic... headbutt the mic. They've found a novel way to mimic the process by which plants use the power of sunlight to split water and make chemical fuel to power their growth. Basically, they're talking about taking technology such as this and other. Sorry, I'm fixing my mic because I think I screwed it up. They're taking this technology and other technologies that in nature generate power more efficiently than anything that we can do using just plain old science. And I think they have the reaction up to like 85% efficiency. Imagine splitting water to make hydrogen from water. The hydrogen can then be stored and used at any time to generate electricity using a fuel cell to make liquid fuels that can be used directly. Imagine a spaceship covered in this stuff that turns the sunlight or water or whatever in. Am I making any sense here?
No.
So the Netherlands are looking at using dikes.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah. Talk about what you want to talk about, because I want to talk about the KFC, the ultimate double down.
Have you heard of Blippi?
Yes. I wanted to talk about Blippi.
It's a fun and easy way to see and discuss what everyone is buying.
With your credit card number.
It's also a service that's putting scads of credit card numbers online.
So what's going on with that?
It appears that...
Do the blippy shake.
That it's a service that lets you know search what people have been buying and this, that, and the other. And the only information that was supposed to be kept was what was bought and where it was bought from. However...
So, like, I could say, hey, I bought an Android phone from, or yeah. I bought a new Lenovo IdeaPad from Amazon.com. Okay, yeah. Good.
However, something messed up, and the data was sent in an HTTP string.
This poor schmuck, this firefighter.
So, the data, it was searchable by Google. You could actually Google the transaction, or Google, you know, let's say I could Google a Lenovo, and your transaction might come up in the search. Bloopy.com/business/transaction.
Holy balls!
Card transaction. Steven, Wyoming. Blah, blah, blah. Card number. Blah, 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 blah. Loyal customer since. Yeah.
The Blippi user, a 38-year-old firefighter, found out that his credit card number was public knowledge when people started tweeting him the bad news. Holy shnikes.
Well, see... There is some shred of hope for humanity if people said, hey, man, you need to do something, as opposed to, hey, man, I'm enjoying my nice new 65-inch Panasonic plasma TV on your expense.
I hope you don't mind. I set the power bill up in your name.
Of course.
Duh. Wow. So far, the guy hasn't seen any fraudulent purchases show up on his account, and at least for now, he has no immediate intention to take legal action against Blippi. It looks like only 4 people were actually affected. One of the Blippi 4. That's funny. Yeah. Sounds like something from...
There's going to be a movie. You just wait.
Sir Mix-a-Lot likes big Butterfingers. I don't know what that is, but I am going to click on it.
I told you, man.
You need to turn Adblock off, because there's some cool ads.
I can't browse the web with ads these days. I am sorry. I am spoiled rotten by not being bugged by ads. On my machine that I just built, my media computer that I put together for the living room, I hadn't had a chance to turn on Adblock Plus. Went to browse to get some plugins and went to Fox News. I mean, not Fox News, it's Fox.com to view stuff. The ads were ridiculous. I couldn't. It's like wading through a sea of molasses as opposed to the internet as I know it.
The KFC double down wants you, Chris.
I would not buy that if it were the last sandwich on the menu.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Give me just a piece of fried chicken. Chicken's bad enough as it is.
You guys know about the McSteve, right?
Yeah.
My little contribution to sandwich art. You know, you take a $1 chicken sandwich and you take a $1 burger and you put them together and you actually pay $2 for a really good burger, which has chicken on it. Or, like, at Arby's, they have, like, my roast beef chicken. It's good. It's yummy. Some guy made a McKFC double down. He took a Big Mac and a double down, and he... Oh, my gosh! Look at the picture. Look at the picture.
Holy freaking heart attack.
People.
People.
But now, here's what...
Just no. I'm going to have to say no.
Here's what got me. This is what really, really hurt me. The Luther Fried Chicken Double Down. Okay, this guy was like... Because the big complaint, everybody's like, it's so messy, it needs to have a bun. This dude took a Krispy Kreme donut, cut it in half, and used it as a bun.
Yeah, cut it in half the other way.
No, yeah, no. He cut it.
Hold it like this, and then
yeah. That's how you can. Right. So, and he actually
flip it around. You want the sticky side.
Sticky side on the chicken, and it binds it all together. It's like the Force. And he added extra kernel sauce. Now, I personally.
Kernel sauce?
He doused it in the Colonel's special sauce. Now, listen.
Well, I don't want to know.
Yeah, Colonel's a cool guy, but I don't want his special sauce on any of my food products.
Sorry.
This is not that kind of show. But this dude, oh my gosh. It is disgusting looking.
Sorry.
Look, it's got a dollop of the Colonel's sauce.
Holy freaking bull. Okay, that has got to be the least healthy thing I think I've ever seen.
Woo.
I'm gonna go have a sandwich from Publix Deli for lunch.
I know. I think I want a salad. What are they thinking? I mean, aren't all of the news media outlets talking about obesity being one of the most prevalent on the rise, whatever? And not just in the United States. You remember we talked about the Mexican cops? They had, like, the obese Mexican cops had to go on, like, a forced workout, or it was a forced march, or that might have been Vietnam.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is a global issue. As food becomes more readily available, as high-calorie, high-fat, high-salt food becomes more readily available, calories are no longer hard to get. Nutrition's hard to come by. But globally, fast foods, which are inherently bad for you in most cases. I love Spam. Is that Spam?
Spam in a different way, though.
What is it?
Not the food. But I just realized, and the actual image of this particular article, mm-hmm. you can get Spam bacon.
What? Hold on.
It's in this picture. Pictures don't lie. It's Spam bacon.
Spam bacon?
Yes, but what this article is referring to is... a California man was hit with an extortion charge this week for threatening to send out millions of emails criticizing his insurance company. If the firm didn't pay him $3 million, he was going to send out tons of email basically blasting New York Life.
That's a tough one because that's extortion.
The authorities said... This gentleman, I'm going to leave his name out because I don't want him to get any more publicity. This gentleman erected a website.
You said website.
to damage the reputation of New York Life unless it returned his $50,000 premium and an extra $150,000 for SNG. We'll just say that. If they didn't do it by a certain date and the deadline was not met, the price would climb to $3 million. Yeah. FBI is on him. Yeah, they're threatening him with making false public statements and transmit millions of email spam in an effort to damage the reputation of New York Life.
Now, here's the thing.
Blah, blah, blah.
What if they really deserve it? What if they really are... I mean, what if they really do suck?
Well, I mean, they're an insurance company, so
it's entirely possible that the horrible claims that he's making against them are entirely... true and accurate.
Well, but we would as the types of people who usually root for the underdog would like to think so.
However, in reality, yeah, there's a little more sinister
to this. He is not just some poor schmuck who got screwed over by New York Life. There are plenty of them all out there.
The plot thickens.
Yeah, apparently it was more of he was an agent for New York Life, made a poor investment and lost his $50,000. It was not, he didn't claim, make a claim like, I need new kidneys. And they're like, no, sorry, we're not going to give you new kidneys. No, it was much, much less than that.
Yeah.
So.
And I have a feeling it's the way you go about it. If you craft a well, good, and noble claim against a company and use the system as it is intended to be used, then we're going to root for you. But this sounds kind of douchey.
Yeah. Some more douchebaggery. Apple and Adobe. We talked about this last week. All right. Apple fans and Macintosh users have been complaining for quite some time about the performance of Flash on the Mac platform. Steve Jobs himself has lambasted Adobe for it. It just comes to light that Apple just this month released an update that would allow companies like Adobe to finally get their hands on the API, which is like the programming information, so that they can make Flash work better on the Mac. So here's their plan. Bash it, say that it's junk and doesn't work, and after everybody believes this, then release the stuff that said that actually makes it work.
That is Machiavellian. Ladies and gentlemen.
You said Machiavellian.
That's what I did. I didn't even get that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is all. We are done. It looks like that is all for this episode of That Computer Show. We're going to be back next week with more That Computer Show, Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hit us up during the week at thatcomputershow.net to get downloads, blog posts, past episodes, and more. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. If you see somebody using our credit card number, send us a message at TCS Joe. Tweet with us and join in on the fun.
I got to write that down because I think I saw it.
So until next week, this is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you have been listening to That Computer Show.
Click it, cross it, crack it, twitch, update it, name it, read it, tweet it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, bring it.